Amen. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. You know, we are so blessed just to be here. Amen. If you don't realize that, you need to start thinking about that. So Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be back still talking about becoming the church, becoming the kind of church that God desires us to be. Amen? So Matthew 16. When Jesus, starting at verse 13, and when Jesus had come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, maybe I can talk this morning, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. So Father, we just ask you to help us see. Open our eyes like we sang. Open our ears. Let us see what you want us to be in the church. Let us see how to be your hands and feet, your mouthpiece that speaks to our community, Father. Let us see how to lift up your name and magnify you, that your kingdom would be filled and that hell would be emptied. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, we left off last week in Acts, I believe it was 5 or 6, actually it was 7, in Acts 7 where Paul had been traveling and he was going to arrest those who believed in Christ. Remember that? And so here he go, and he's traveling along, and all of a sudden, boy, boom, Jesus speaks to him. And he falls down. And when he gets up, he hears the voice of the Lord. He says, "Why are you fighting against me?" And Saul, he's just total clueless, amen? Anybody clueless when the Lord speaks to him? I hope not. I hope when the Lord speaks to us, we may fall on our knees, and that's okay. That's a good thing. But we at least say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. Tell me what you need from me. Tell me what you want from me." Instead of saying, "Well, who are you?" That's a pretty bad place to be, amen? When we don't even recognize the voice of the Lord. But, you know, if we don't have that relationship, if we don't have that personal time with God each and every day, when God speaks, we generally don't even know. Because we don't know his voice. And his word says that my sheep will know my voice. Amen? So here's Paul or Saul at this point, and he's... he's totally dumbfounded in what to do. And he gets up. The men that were traveling with him, remember what the word says? They what? They heard the voice, but what? They didn't see anything. They were probably just as dumbfounded as Saul was, amen? Because they heard God speak, and yet they couldn't see him. And they're probably just going, what in the world is going on here? So Saul, he gets up, and he's told to go into town, and it would be told him what to do. And so as he goes, God starts speaking to another man, Ananias. And of course, Ananias knows the voice of the Lord, right? And he immediately says, huh? God, now wait a minute. This guy's come to take people to prison. So he starts questioning God. God, are you really sure that you want me to do this? Are you really sure? I mean, you can just imagine the little bit of fear that came upon Ananias at this point. But he listens to what God tells him. He doesn't allow the fear that he undoubtedly is feeling. He doesn't let it overtake him. Because God says, Ananias, Saul's there and he's praying. And he's been shown a vision. He's been told that there's a man by the name of Ananias coming. Now, don't you know that God had some faith in Ananias? Amen? Would he have that kind of faith in me? That he could tell someone, I'm sending Mark to come talk to you. I'm sending Mark. Can you imagine the faith of that took for God to do that? Because, I mean, come on, we're human, right? And sometimes we let that fear override the voice of God and we stop and we don't do what God wants us to do. But Ananias, he just went and he started praying for Saul. And so Saul's eyes are opened. They were blinded by the brightness of Jesus. But his eyes were opened as he went and he prayed for Saul. And that changed the whole trajectory of what was going on. That changed Saul's life. It changed everything within the church. In fact, the church was still just a little bit fearful of listening to what Saul had to say, amen? But Saul did it anyway. Saul went. Saul went ahead and he started preaching the word of God. The same word he was trying to stop. The same thing that he was trying to arrest and put in prison. All of a sudden, because Saul had a vision of God, he started preaching the word of God. And we know that after so long, he was put in prison. And because he was put in prison, he gave us about two-thirds of the New Testament. Amen? All these letters to the churches, Paul wrote, most of them from prison. But the gates of hell would not prevail. See, Saul was on his way to try to stop the church. Amen? That was his intent. I'm going to stop this thing. But Jesus promised the gates of hell would not prevail. So if the gates of hell would not prevail, then Saul was not going to prevail. It's as simple as that. You see, there's nothing that the world can do to stop us once we're determined to preach the word of God. Absolutely nothing. They can try. In fact, if you look in communist countries right now, if you look in Islamic countries right now, the word of God is still going forth. They're forbid to speak the word of God. In fact, they're under threat of death, just like Saul was taking to the church. They're under the same threat of death. And yet, they say that the largest growing church, or the fastest growing church right now, is in Iran. That's in Iran. Because when people see the truth, they realize that this is what they want. And that's why I tell us all the time, I'm going to say it again, when we allow the Spirit of God to move in our midst, when we start seeing people saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, when we start seeing people baptized and set free, when we start seeing people who are healed of all kinds of diseases, and when we start seeing them cast the demons out of them, the people will come to see, because that's why they follow Jesus. It has nothing to do with us. Do you realize that? We're just the vessel that His Spirit flows through. And when we come to church, we should be expecting those things to happen. We should be expecting it. We should pray through the week like we expect it. One of my favorite songs here recently, help me out, Jeanette. What's her name? Judy Jacobs sings this song. What you gonna do today, Lord? What you gonna do today? Miracle signs are wonders. What you gonna do today? How many of you have that kind of expectation when you come to church? What you gonna do, Lord? That's why I say I hate missing church. I hate missing church. I know it's not possible to never miss, but I hate missing church because I don't want to miss the miracle that God's gonna do. Whether it's in me or whether it's in you, it still excites me the same. That's why when somebody asks me how I'm doing, what do I say? I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. There is no other answer on this earth that you will ever get from me. I am blessed. I could be in my deathbed and I'm going to say, I am blessed. You know, it blesses me to watch someone who really knows that they know that they know the Lord. Many years ago, we were in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and this elderly lady, she was in our Bible study group that we were assigned specific individuals, and she was in our group, and she was passing away from cancer. And we're there at the hospital almost every day, and she always had a really good spirit about her. But the day she passed was such a blessing to me. Her daughter was there, her son was there, and they were just kind of waiting. And, you know, they didn't want to talk to me about God. They didn't want to believe in God. You know, they were just really against everything that had to do with God. But all of a sudden, she just started giggling. And she's giggling. And she starts laughing. And her daughter, who was probably the most antagonistic of the things of the Lord, said, Mama, what are you laughing about? And she says, honey, I'm peeking into heaven. Now that's the saint of God that knows that the gates of hell are not going to prevail, that she's run her course, she's finished her race, and she is finishing well. Amen? This is the kind of church God needs us to be. This is the kind of church that God wants us to be, to take Him to our neighbors, to our friends, to our relatives. But man, so many times we allow the enemy to tell us Oh, you're not doing any good. You're, you know, they don't want to hear. They, I'm here to tell you, the world wants to hear. The world wants to hear. They just don't know that they want to hear. Just listen to some of the songs that are out there. Now, I might be dating myself a little bit, and I don't listen to country music. I'm sorry. I can't tell you who sang this song, but I remember it from years ago, and it says, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." See, the world's looking for love. And they're looking for a church that loves. They're looking for Christians that love. Not with our love, with the love of Jesus Christ. If you love me, you will love one another. By this, they shall know that you are Christians, that you love one another. All right, you guys aren't getting very excited here. So this is what was taking place. This is what was starting at the church. We go down just a little bit, and we find that the church still hadn't really branched out. They were still pretty much staying within themselves, you know. And that was the biggest problem with the Jewish people. They took God saying, "Separate yourself," and took it to mean we can't share your love with anyone, you know. Almost like used to be said in the church, "Us four and no more." You know, but God wants everyone to experience His love. He wants everyone, to share His love. He wants to give it away. That's why He came to earth. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, "For God was so disgusted with the world that He sent Jesus." He said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him they might be saved." You see, when we're the kind of Christians, quote unquote, that condemn everybody, the world doesn't want to see that. They already know. They may not admit it, but they already know. They want to see a church that loves them the way they are, unconditionally. Not one that says what they're doing is okay, but that loves them. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And so as the church was staying in Jerusalem and things were kind of tight-knit and not really going anywhere, even though there were multitudes of people being saved, God decided, "I need to get my word out." And so He calls Peter. And Peter's up on a mountain, on a housetop, and he's praying. And He calls Peter and He says, "Peter, I want you to eat all these foods that I've just lowered down to you." And of course, Peter's a good Jew. He's a good Jew. He looks at this and he says, "This is unclean, this is unclean, this is unclean, this is unclean. Wait a minute, God, this is all unclean." He says, "Nothing that is ever unclean has ever come across my lips." God had to do it three times to get Peter's attention. Amen? And so once it was really clear to Peter, then God sends a messenger from the house of Cornelius. And the house of Cornelius, they were in there praying. They didn't even know God, but they're in there praying. So, "God, send me someone to let me see the light, Send me someone that can speak your word. Send me someone. And so God tells Cornelius to go get Peter. And so Peter, he goes to Cornelius. He's probably not really sure what's going on here, because they'd never taken the gospel outside of the Jewish nation. And so Peter, he gets there and he starts preaching. He's just preaching his heart out. All of a sudden, something happens. The Holy Spirit begins to fill the Gentiles. And Peter's going, what's going on here? And he's looking and he's probably baffled at the fact that the Holy Spirit's being poured out upon the Gentiles. Because his thinking was, this is for the Jews, amen? Aren't you glad that God decided to pour out his spirit upon the Gentiles? Because I don't know if anyone in here, a blood Jew? No? I can just imagine if it was only for the Jews. Or if I was in a place back when I was unsaved in the military, if it had been a place where salvation was only for the good guys, because I wasn't a good guy. Or if salvation was only for, you know, someone in this standing or in this area or whatever. Instead of the man that witnessed to me for months and months, Lieutenant J.G. Pinnell, instead of him realizing God's got a place for you and sticking to it and not allowing the enemy to prevail, amen? I wished I knew how much he travailed over me. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls. Now, you know, there's going to be a lot of controversy, but I'm going to say it anyway. How did Peter have any clue that the Holy Spirit fell on him? People will say a lot of different things, but I'm here to tell you they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Just saying. Otherwise, Peter wouldn't have recognized it. He wouldn't have known what was going on. But he recognized they began to speak in tongues and as the Spirit gave utterance. And Peter realized, wait a minute. I'm not done preaching yet. No. Peter looked at those that went with him. He says, wow, can we deny baptism when God's already given them the same gift he's given us? And so they go out and they baptize, amen? And the church begins to be born in the Gentiles. Now Paul, after he went from Saul to Paul, he was called to preach to the Gentiles, amen? Most of his ministry was to the Gentiles. But I'm saying all this to encourage you. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that someone does not want to hear the word of God. But they want it more than just hearing it. They want to see it with their eyes. They want you to be the word of God. There was Christian song, I think I've told you before, I don't remember who it was, back in the 80s, there was a Christian song that says, your life is the only Bible some people are going to read. Even when you're not aware, you're always planting seed. You see, that's why God calls us to be holy. He calls us to be holy. How many of you remember what the word holy means? All right, I'll give you the definition again. Holy, hagiosmos. The root word is hagos. And it means sanctified, cleansed, set apart for God's exclusive use. You see, the thing of it is, I've been bought with a price. And because I've been bought with a price, that means I'm a slave to God. He purchased me. He owns me. And if he owns me, and he purchased me with his blood, I no longer have the right to do what I want to do. Oh, that really got you quiet. But here's Peter. He's in the house of Cornelius. He realizes that there is something going on with God, and he just realizes, okay, we got to baptize these the same of we were baptized, because God baptized them in the Spirit the same way we were. And see, when these things start happening, When miracles begin to take place at these altars, we're going to see people flood these doors. They're going to hear about it. They're going to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm sick. I want some of that. Not to build a big congregation. It's not what it's about. It's to empty the pits of hell, to see souls saved, sanctified, on their way to heaven. If we never grew past another person in here, and I'm not saying I want that, I'm just saying if it never happened, it wouldn't make a bit of difference as long as souls are being saved. Amen? But that it's impossible to happen if souls are being saved. Because people want to be just like, I believe it was Catherine Kuhlman used to always say, I want to be under the spout where the Spirit's coming, or where the glory's coming out, amen. There's somebody that knows, our friends, retired pastors. Stand up and greet the congregation, would you? Where's a microphone? Amen. 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 I wait for the days when the doors open and people flood these altars needing healing, and we just have to stop and pray. You know, needing a touch from God. We just have to stop and pray. You know, the same way that when Solomon sanctified the temple, it says the Spirit of the Lord came down in such a powerful cloud, the priest couldn't stand and minister. That's what we need. We need a touch of God. Our society needs a touch of God. So now we're down to into Acts 10. And the disciples, they're in Caesarea. And something happens in Caesarea that is extremely important for us to see. In Caesarea, the disciples are going. They're praying for people. Miracles are happening. Things are changing. It's not that they're having an easy time of it, but the people recognize something important, and they begin to call the disciples Christians. Question is, do our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, do they see Jesus so much in our lives that they call us Christians? We don't tell them we're Christians. They look at it and they say, wow, that's the same thing Jesus was doing. And what was Jesus doing? He was walking amongst his brethren. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. You want your friends and neighbors to call you Christian? Are you doing the same things? See, I've told you a dozen times, if I've told you once, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the power of God and us just being so simple. Now, maybe I'm just too simple, but I just believe the Word of God and what the Word of God says, and I pray that way, and things happen. And that's what He wants for all of us, to allow the Holy Spirit to move and to touch and to take people from the miry clay that's dragging them down to the pits of hell and put their feet on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. If you're here today, maybe you're still in the miry clay, but you're seeking and asking God, God, what must I do to be saved, like Nicodemus did? What must I do to be saved? He's telling you today, you must be born again. You must be born again. So if you're here today and you have not been born again, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Get with one of these prayer team members. Just tell them, I need Jesus. If you're here today and everything's okay that way, but you need a touch from God, you need healing, you need something in your finances, you need something for whatever, God's here to meet your needs. He's here to meet your need. I want to ask you, just come forward. Get with one of our prayer team. If everything's all right, as we begin to close, keep in mind, we're going to go to the river. We're going to baptize. If you want to be baptized, just let me know. We're going to have some food, some fellowship, and just love on each other. Amen. So, after service, meet us in the Kooski Park, and we'll just have a good time together. I'm going to have them play that song real quick.